KOJB 90.1 The Eagle, good day to you and welcome to another edition of Environmental Voices. I'm Marie Rock and joining me in the studio today is Shirley Nordrum, the University of Minnesota Extension Educator for Leech Lake, and she's stationed at the Leech Lake Tribal College. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to share a little story about a project that I was involved with back when I was Environmental Director of at the DRM. And here's the story. Back in 1942, President Roosevelt established the Biological Warfare Program. Mm-hmm. And in 1964, that program contracted with a company called Litton Industries to do some monitoring of biological warfare. And one of the testing stations was located here in Cass Lake.
Really?
It was. And so what they did was they dispersed a chemical called zinc cadmium sulfide. And what they were doing was the zinc cadmium sulfide, as a chemical, it fluoresces, so they can track how it's dispersed in the environment.
Okay.
And it's also a small particle. It's like 2 to 3 microns. And so that would penetrate deeply into your lungs. So it would mimic a biological weapon. And the reason that they stated that they did this here at Cass Lake is they were looking for cold weather conditions. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for dense coniferous and deciduous forests. So between the months of January and August of 1964, there were 700 pounds of zinc cadmium sulfide released over a period of time. What they would do is they would fly in a plane, and some of it was dispersed much like crop dusting.
Okay.
And some of it was dispersed in little bomblets. So they would release these little bomblets, and then when they hit the ground, they would explode. And then they went out with ultraviolet light and looked to see where it dispersed and how it moved in the environment. And when the public became aware of this in the mid-90s, of course, it created a lot of concerns. You know, what are our health risks and what are the impacts of this chemical being released here on the reservation?
Okay, so when they were doing this experiment, did they notify the public that they were doing it, or was it a hush-hush deal?
It couldn't have been completely hush-hush because the planes were flying and community members knew about it, but I don't think they were fully aware of the chemical that was being used or any potential risks associated with it.
Okay.
So when the public became aware of it, we began to consider the health effects of it ourselves. And what ended up happening is we did what's called a cooperative agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They have a program called Land Mitigation for Native Americans and Alaska Native Tribes. And it allows them to go and look at actions by the Department of Defense and assess whether there was any health impacts. And if there were, it allows for opportunities to mitigate or try to fix those impacts. So what's interesting about this study that we did is how we were able to do it. We had information about the weather conditions on the days that those flights were flown. Mm-hmm. So we knew the temperature and the wind, and we used a model that tracks how things are dispersed in the air.
Okay.
So we modeled where this plume would have been dispersed and how it would have moved and dropped out into the atmosphere. Once we had that information, then we used another model to track how it would flow on the ground, how the water would have taken it and moved it with rain and dispersed it on the ground.
Okay.
Then once we knew those locations where we felt it might have been deposited, we went out and took soil samples, 300 soil samples.
That's a lot of dirt.
That's a lot of dirt. That's a lot of walking.
I bet.
This area that was flown, it was south of Highway 2 between Sucker Lakes and Pike Bay. Cuba Hill Road, some people may know it, Cuba Hill Road, close to the experimental forest, the U.S. Forest Service's experimental forest. So we went out in that area and we took these 300 soil samples. And, you know, we set a value of what we thought the zinc and the cadmium were the things that we looked at because those have the health impacts.
Okay.
And we set a what's called a screening value for those two chemicals. And for the zinc, it was 10 parts per million. And for cadmium, is 1 part per million. And then when we collected those samples, we took it to the lab and we got our results back.
Okay.
And none of the results were higher than the screening values that we had set. So, you know, what we can conclude from that is that there doesn't appear to be any long-term human health or environmental impacts from that action. And there's a big report that's available to community members mm-hmm. if they want to learn more about this.
Okay.
It's available at DRM. Has all the maps of the location and how we modeled it, how we modeled how it dispersed in the environment, and how we modeled how it would have been tracked through rain and movement of water. And so that's available, and I just thought that that would be a good topic to share with the community, because oftentimes, you know, there'll be, I don't want to call them rumors because they're true, but people will say, well, you remember that happened back then? You know, I wonder if it's safe to go and hunt or gather in that area. And even though, you know, our conclusion is at this time, based on the information that we have, there doesn't appear to be any long-term health effects or environmental effects of that. The education piece is allowing people, giving them the information, and allowing them to make the decisions on what's right and best for them and how they want to, whether they want to hunt and gather there or not, you know?
Mm-hmm. I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
Might want to throw a wrench into the works here. Just
you go ahead, throw a wrench. See what you can do.
Got a couple of questions, just a bit. Where you guys took your samples at, was that the direct location where it dispersed? Or
yeah.
Okay. So wouldn't you think that if this was done in the 60s and this you guys did this research recently, or was it in the 90s or what?
The samples were collected in 2010.
Okay. So don't you think they had enough time to like kind of go their own way and disperse a little further? And
well, the thought is they could have penetrated deeper into the ground.
Okay.
So when we collected samples, we collected them at various levels.
Okay.
You know, some of them were an inch deep right on the surface. Some of them were 3 or 5 inches deep. So we did look at you know, depth and take that into consideration.
So they couldn't go any further than that. I'm thinking like affecting the water table type of thing or.
No, we're not thinking that they would have done that, that they would, their metals, and that they, we think that based on, we did test the pH.
Mm-hmm.
pH affects how metals move in the soils.
Okay.
And so we did check the pH, and it seems like they should have stayed pretty stable within, you know, the first five or so inches of layers of soil.
Okay. So after all my crazy questions here, there's really nothing to worry about?
I don't have any concerns.
Okay.
But that's, again, a personal choice of what kind of risks you want to take. You know, we all take risks every day. You
exactly.
know? And so for myself or my family, I wouldn't be too terribly concerned about it.
Okay.
But for another person, they may want to choose to hunt and gather in a different area.
Now, let's say you got some of that into your system. Can that make you sick?
High levels of zinc and cadmium can have health effects.
Don't they take zinc and vitamins?
Yeah, you do. Actually, zinc is good for warding off colds and things like that. So, but in excessive levels over long-term exposure, mm-hmm. you know, it can cause problems. And that's why I brought this with me. This is a book that was published just about research on the release of this chemical.
Okay.
It's called Toxicological Assessment of the Army Zinc Cadmium Sulfide Dispersion Tests. And this was done by the National Research Council. And as you can see, it's a pretty hefty volume.
Yeah, that could hold down a couple of pieces of paper.
Yeah, it sure could. And it could put you to sleep if you're having insomnia. Takes a while to get through it. But, you know, I think that the best science was put toward trying to determine whether there's a problem or not.
Okay.
And at this time, based on what we know, mm-hmm. doesn't appear that it's a long-term problem.
Okay.
But it is something that the community should be aware of, should know of, because it's good to know these things and make your own personal choices about what you want to do.
Okay, so now if people have questions, and I know they will after
I'm
hearing
sure
this.
I'm sure they will.
How do we get a hold of you, Shirley?
You can call me at the Tribal College. Just ask for Shirley and call that 335-4200. You can contact Brandy Toft at the DRM. Her phone number is 335-7429, and she has the full report available if people want to take a look at that. It's got lots of cool maps in it and things like that.
Okay.
And so there's your go-to for more information on that.
Awesome. Thanks, Shirley, for coming in.
All right. Thank you for having me.
That's going to wrap up another edition of Environmental Voices. For KOJB 90.1 The Eagle, I'm Marie Rock.